Roll, please.
Councilmember Eugene Connors?
Here.
Councilmember Joan Hanson?
Here.
Councilmember Shirley Dowdy?
Present.
Mayor Ronald Ertlian?
Here.
Mayor Pro Tem Anna Klein?
Here.
Councilmember Douglas Dunn?
Here.
Councilmember Serena Sullivan may be a little late tonight. City staff, Justin Johnson, city manager, Ashley Coronado, city clerk, Sharon Bono, finance director, Mark Berlinet, fire chief, Andy Heretic, public works director, Britt Hansen, city attorney.
Thank you. For the invocation, let us reflect on all the good things in our lives, our family, friends, and the fabulous community that we live in, and so much more. And so for all of the good things in our lives, so let's reflect on those with a moment of silence. Thank you. Let us stand for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Tonight, before we get started, I do want to recognize some people in the audience. Sometimes I do this. Former Mayor Dan Beecham's with us tonight with his wife Carol. Former Council Member Benny Scott. Judy Anderson from the Planning and Zoning Commission. We have Cynthia Conroy from iBisbee. Marilyn Siebold from the Airport Commission. Fred Miller from the iBisbee Committee. Dave Smith, former council member. And I'm probably leaving somebody out. My apologies if I didn't see you. So what we are going to do is we have a few service awards to hand out tonight. And if Mr. Andy Heretic would come up to the podium, and we'll get that started.
Good evening, and thank you, Mayor and council members. I'm not from Bisbee, and I've only technically lived here now for 12 years, and I actually live in Naco. But in the time I've been here, I've met a good deal of full-timers, or people who've been for Bisbee, people who've raised their children here, sent them off to college. They have children and grandchildren living in other cities in Arizona. And anyway, a lot of those people I've met all know one couple, and it's the Upchurches. And Bud Upchurch has been talking to me since I got here about paving his road. And for 12 years, I've put sandbags and dirt and rocks and promised him that we were going to get to his road. And I will get to the whole thing. But a couple weeks ago, Bud and Sybil came in, and they said, what about that road? And I said, Bud, I am going to get the road, and he's not getting any younger. And he's wondering if I'm ever really going to get the road, but if he's still living here. So I said, Bud, I went to the Streets and Infrastructure Committee, and I made the comment, before we lose Bud, I need to get that road paved. I want to go off the plan to get that road paved. And I asked the committee, and Joan Hanson's is the liaison to that committee. And I did that because Bud and Sybil came to me, and not only were they talking about the road, but they said, Andy, that road's so bad, we have a moving company come, and they can't drop the pods off at our house because they can't get the truck up to our driveway. So it was really sad. So I went to see Bud. So I didn't tell him what I was going to do. But they said, we need that road patch by the 22nd. So I'll do the best I can. I'll try and get up there. So the big push and the surprise was that we showed up on the street one day. I don't think he knew what we were doing, but by the second day, the first day we prepped it, by the second day when he saw the pavement, I knew he knew it, because I went up that morning, he was standing on the edge of his wall clapping his hands. He was so excited. The bad news is Bud and Sybil sold their house and to be closer to their family in Mesa. And it's a loss when you lose somebody who bought a house in 1957 and who's been waiting for me to pave that street since then. I didn't get here in time to do it sooner. So the Upchurches are leaving, and I said to Bud, this is really hard. And he said to me, do you know how hard this is for me? And it really must be something. He bought that house in 1957. He raised his kids, sent them all off. He's got grandkids. So the Upchurches are going to move to Mesa to be with their family, and I understand and respect that. I just hate to lose people like Bud and Sybil.
Thank you, Andy. Thank you. We have two service awards. have an extraordinary service award. The certificate is presented to Sybil Upchurch in recognition of her outstanding dedication and service to the city of Bisbee, dated this 21st day of June 2016. And next one's for Bud. You can come up together. Extraordinary Service Award. This certificate is presented to Bud Upchurch in recognition of his outstanding dedication and service to the city of Bisbee, dated this 21st day of June 2016. Next, we have a letter of appreciation from the iBisbee committee. It says, "Dear Mayor and Council, our committee is grateful to the city manager, Justin Johnson, for his help and inspiration for the past 2 years. He has helped us on three projects in particular, the Urban Land Institute, ULI visit, the launch of eBisbee branding and the website upgrades, and the Affordable Senior Housing Project. For the ULI visit, he initiated the process by submitting a detailed application to the organization as well as gaining council support for the project. He also aided us by supplying critical information for the preparation book that enabled the ULI tech panel to have a good grasp of our conditions before they arrived. This enabled us to have a comprehensive and fruitful discussion. He enthusiastically embraced our desire to rethink and enliven our marketing material and messages. In conjunction with the complete renovation of discoverbisbee.com website, the Be Bisbee branding campaign has already led to an increased visibility for our city in target areas of Phoenix and Tucson. Next year, the city will put in a grant for 40 to 60 units of affordable senior housing. Working with the Foundation for Senior Living and Freeport Mac Moran, Mr. Johnson has assisted our committee to move toward fruition of this venture. It has been our good fortune to work with Mr. Johnson to develop a shared vision for economic development for our city. Although we regret that he is leaving, we believe he will be successful in his new position of Assistant City Manager of Athens, Georgia, as he has been in Bisbee. Sincerely, Stan Stern, Chair of iBisbee Committee." Personal note, I want to extend my best wishes to Justin on his new adventure in Georgia. And I'll miss our daily conversations that we have and my personal relationship with you. Thank you, Justin, for serving our city.
Thank you, sir.
Very much. Good luck to you. Next, we have a proclamation called Killer Termites Day. And what this is a group that helped organize the vote for the best historic small town. And I will read this proclamation, rather a strange name, so I prefaced it with what that group was. "Whereas the killer termites lead the charge to ensure Bisbee, Arizona is named the best historic small town in America by USA Today, and whereas the killer termites, who were instrumental in spreading the word to over 250,000 social media subscribers and getting them to vote for Our Bisbee, and whereas in paying tribute to killer termites, we would declare Sunday, July the 3rd, 2016, to be Killer Termites Day in Bisbee, Arizona." All right. And I believe that's the end of our various announcements. And next, we are going to go to call to the public. Yes. We'll start off with Marilyn Siebold.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. I'm Marilyn Siebold. I live at 2145 South Arizona Street, which isn't in the city. And I am on the Bisbee Airport Advisory Commission for 16 years or 15 years. So, but I am here because of Justin. Justin, I just had to be here for this, your last Bisbee City Council meeting. From the moment I met you when I was on one of the interview panels for your selection to this position, I knew you were special, and my faith in you has never wavered. I sat here last evening and listened to the interviews of the 6 finalists for the city manager position, and one of the questions was about them fitting into Bisbee. I couldn't help but think of you and how easily you fit into Bisbee. In a short time, you have become one of us, and it must have been quite obvious how much you are loved here by the number of people who attended your farewell party at the Bisbee Royale. It was so touching when your wife, your kids, and your niece and nephews took the microphone and thanked Bisbee for being so nice to their dad and uncle and said how much they loved Bisbee. When your family first arrived at the party, they sat quietly. But once they took the stage and then the dance floor, they obviously fit in as well. And you dancing with Andy is something that is just forever. A great evening and great memories.
Told you, man.
Unfortunately, I couldn't dance because of my knee, and that bothered me. But anyway, you have been a very visible city manager in this town, attending so many events and making so many lasting friendships. There are many here who are very grateful for how you helped make Bisbee even more special than it already was. And you lived in Old Bisbee. How cool was that? Being a presence in the downtown area surely helped the morale of the businesses. Many of those at the party were downtown business owners, so that speaks for itself. Another of the questions to the new city manager candidates was, what do you think is Bisbee's greatest asset? Most answered correctly by saying Bisbee citizens. The people here are what make Bisbee so special. You became one of those people, one of Bisbee's greatest assets. And you must realize how much we care about you. I told James Cool in a Facebook message yesterday that I was going to the city manager interviews last night and tonight's council meeting because it would be your last one, and he immediately said to tell you thank you for everything you did for the Friends of the Library. And I did relay that message to you, and hopefully when James returns to Bisbee early next week, he can tell you in person. I hope you will come back sometime for a visit because you will be sorely missed. Safe travels, and please think about us once in a while when you're back there in Athens, Georgia. Milt and I wish you well in your new position as Assistant City County Manager there. Thank you, Justin, for serving as Bisbee City Manager. Athens, Georgia is fortunate indeed. Your friend always, Marilyn.
Thank you.
Next we have Allison Williams.
Good evening, Mayor, Council, City Staff, City Manager. It was a great party. On behalf of the staff at the Copper Queen Library, we want to thank you. Your support and leadership for all of the city employees is very big shoes indeed to fill. And I think the example that you've set in 2 short years has been remarkable because it shows us as a small city the caliber of person we can have as city manager here and how this city can grow, change, blossom. So many things that you've implemented will continue and allow us to grow. And that, I think, is remarkable, that it's not just what you've done today, but what you've done that will change tomorrow. And so thank you on behalf of the library and myself personally, and as the former chair of the BAC as well. You certainly supported that commission and all that we did. We will miss you. So a couple things, just a special thanks to the Friends of the Copper Queen Library. Just please support them. Altered Books is coming up. 2 things. One thing they did recently was they purchased a new overhead projector for the community room and a new laptop. And what this means is that the aisle is now clear of a very bulky cart with an old outdated projector that didn't work and cords. And tonight we had Richard Graham speak a lecture on opium and prostitution in the Red Light District in Bisbee. And we were able to fit more chairs than normal because this aisle is cleared, which was good because there were 54 people at this lecture. The room was packed, and really it's an amazing thing how a little piece of equipment changes the entire thing. And the friends, they're amazing. They support the library so much. And with that, we are having a benefit for the Friends of the Copper Queen Library and KBRP. One of our locals is now a local author. Doug Stanhope has written a book, a memoir called Digging Up Mother. And this is the poster you will see. And he is on a national book tour. He's been on a national book tour in New York and LA. We are going to have the only book signing in the state of Arizona here in Bisbee for the library. And that's going to be at the Bisbee Royale. And Mishka Shubali and Brett Erickson will be joining him there, and we are pre-selling books. And the tickets are have gone on sale as an invite only through email to the KBRP list and the library patron list, and that's to allow as many locals and community members as possible to get tickets first. They will then go on sale to the public. Doug has a lot of fans, but I really wanted to make sure that all of us here have that opportunity. So if you did not receive that email and you would like to come and get that ticket link, just email me, see me after the meeting, call me. I'll send it to you, but I need your email. And my email is awilliams@bisbeeaz.gov. And so just thank you. Everything is going wonderfully at the library, and we're really happy. Thank you.
Thank you, Allison Williams. Next, we have Cynthia Conroy.
Well, there, the little miracle man. Your visibility and civility has already been testified by many, and thank you very much for your 2 years of probably putting the glass upside down. Tongue was going one way in this town, tongue went the other way, and I believe a lot of it, as always, starts at the top, goes down. So thank you very much. This is a swag bag. Everybody should have one. So you take that home with you. It's actually a collectible. I think they're all gone from the Royale when Sloan had it, and all these sponsors and insiders, some Bisbee 1000 memorabilia for you to take to Athens, because really, I thank you 1,000 times for everything you've done for the community and for the events in the community and businesses in the community and the citizens of the community. And I only hope, Council, that you will approximate the bar that somebody else has referred to and set it high and get us a professional, energetic city manager who's not just a bureaucrat, but a loving, kind, generous, active person that can lead this town. Thank you.
Thank you, Cynthia Conroy. Next, we have Susan Blackford.
Thank you. Okay. Here it comes.
Good evening. Just a few remarks. Once everything settles down, I will be back to continue the petition for our new ambulance. Even though we have the new FEMA ambulance, it only serves to replace the total ambulance that was involved in an accident in December. We are down to the same numbers as before. Therefore, we'll still need a new ambulance. Thank you.
Thank you, Susan Blackford. I believe that concludes call to the public. So we will go to item number one, accounts payable. Do we have a motion?
I move that we pay accounts payable in the amount of $318,067.01.
Second.
We have a motion and a second to approve accounts payable in the amount of $318,067.01. All those in favor indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed, nay. The ayes have it. Motion passes unanimously. Item number two, approval of the consent agenda, items A through D, and I will read those. A, approval of the appointment of James Richmond to the Community Sustainability Commission. B, approval of the park facility and right-of-way use permit for the use of several streets for the Coaster Race trial run on June the 25th, three sets July 3rd, and the race on July the 4th. C, approval of a special event liquor license application submitted by the Bisbee Radio Project Incorporated, KBRP, for an event to be held at the Bisbee Royale, 94 Main Street, Bisbee, Arizona, on Friday, July the 1st, 2016, from 5 p.m. to 11:59 p.m., Ryan Bruce, applicant. D, approval of a liquor license application for the Crazy Ponies Saloon, located at 37 OK Street, Bisbee, Arizona, Ruben Verdugo, Jr., applicant. Do we have a motion?
I move that we approve the consent agenda items A through D.
Second.
We have a motion and a second to approve the consent agenda items A through D. Ms. Coronado, would you take the roll, please?
Councilmember Connors?
Aye.
Councilmember Hansen?
Aye.
Councilmember Dowdy?
Aye.
Mayor Pro Tem Klein?
Aye.
Councilmember Dunn?
Aye.
Councilmember Sullivan?
Aye.
Mayor Earthy?
Aye. Motion passes unanimously. Item number three, public hearing on truth in taxation and public hearing and discussion on fiscal year 2016-17 proposed budget for the City of Bisbee. Let me refer over to the City Manager, Mr. Johnson.
Thank you, Mayor. This particular item, as required, the public hearing process for the FY 2016-17 proposed budget for the City of Bisbee.
Any questions or comments from the Council? I'm going to open a public hearing. Is there any discussion by members of the public in support of the item? Is there any discussion by members of the public in opposition to the item? Ms. Coronado, was there any written communication?
No, sir. Okay.
I'm not going to close this public hearing. Is there any discussion from the council members? Okay. I'm going to make the motion to move to increase the levy in the primary tax rate from $2.5366 to $2.5873 for $100 of assessed value for fiscal year 2016-2017.
I second.
We have a motion and a second. Any other thoughts, discussion? No other thoughts. Ms. Coronado, would you take the roll, please?
Councilmember Connors?
Aye.
Councilmember Hansen?
Aye.
Councilmember Dowdy?
Aye.
Mayor Pro Tem Klein?
Aye.
Councilmember Dunn?
Aye.
Councilmember Sullivan?
Aye.
Mayor Early?
Aye. Motion passes unanimously. Item number four, discussion of possible approval of resolution R-16-05, adopting the final budget, fiscal year 16-17, for the City of Bisbee, adopting the alternative expenditure limitation for fiscal year 16-17. Once again, the City Manager, Mr. Justin Johnson.
Thank you, Mayor. Members of the Council, what you have before you is the actual resolution adopting the alternative expenditure limit for FY 16-17, adopting the final budget for FY 16-17. Resolution is R-16-05.
Any questions from the Council? Do we have a motion?
I move to approve resolution R-16-05, adopting the final budget and the alternate expenditure limit for fiscal year 2016-2017.
Second.
We have a second, a motion and a second to approve resolution R-16-05, adopting the final budget and the alternative expenditure limit for fiscal year 2016-2017. Any other thoughts? No other thoughts? Ms. Coronado, would you take the roll, please?
Councilmember Connors?
Aye.
Councilmember Hansen?
Aye.
Councilmember Dowdy?
Aye.
Mayor Pro Tem Klein?
Aye.
Councilmember Dunn?
Aye.
Councilmember Sullivan?
Aye.
Mayor Early?
Aye. Motion passes unanimously. We have lots of clapping from the finance director. Let me just take this opportunity to thank Mr. Johnson and Ms. Buono for putting this budget together, and also all the department heads that contributed to that. It's a big undertaking, and it appears you did a magnificent job. Thank you.
Thank you, Council.
Item number five. Discussion of possible approval of a contract with Fireworks Productions of Arizona for the 4th of July fireworks. Mark Bernalite, Fire Chief, City of Bisbee.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. Today we have before you the contract for the 4th of July fireworks. It's a contract with Fireworks Productions of Arizona. We have a line item in there that was in our past budget It allows $3,500 to be spent toward the fireworks show. We're going to have a pretty good show this year. It's going to be over 400 pieces of fireworks, and we hope everybody comes out for it and enjoys the show.
Any questions from the council? Comments?
Just a comment.
Councilmember Klein.
This $3,500 is coming from our budget, correct? From the council's budget?
I believe that is in there. Sharon, it's in the mayor council budget.
Yes.
But I think you also maybe got
and
a few donations too.
Yes, sir. We've received some generous donations, and the part that's going to be offset by that is extra $2,500. So it'd be a total of a $6,000 show, which includes delivery of the fireworks, which needs special handling, as well as a $10 million insurance policy.
Yes.
Okay, and but I wanted to bring that extra $2,500 is from the firefighters union, correct?
Firefighter union and Freeport McNamara, and as well as other fire departments in the area have donated to us as well.
Oh, okay, great, thank you.
Any other questions from the council? Do we have a motion?
I move to approve the contract with Fireworks Productions of Arizona for the 4th of July fireworks.
Second.
We have a motion and a second to approve the contract with Fireworks Productions of Arizona for the 4th of July fireworks. All those in favor indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed, nay. The ayes have it. Motion passes unanimously. Thank you very much, Chief
Mayor and Council. And before, if I may, Mr. Johnson, on behalf of the fire department, thank you very much.
Thank you, sir.
Item number six, discussion and possible approval of the agreement with CenturyLink to provide phone services at various city locations. Ashley Coronado, City Clerk, City of Bisbee.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. Before you guys tonight is an agreement with CenturyLink, and it just provides the phone service to all our city locations. They've given us a little bit of a cost break this year. We're going to be receiving about $1,900 in savings from this five-year contract.
Any questions from the council? Do we have a motion?
I move to approve the agreement with CenturyLink to provide phone services at various city locations.
Second.
We have a motion and a second to approve the agreement with CenturyLink to provide phone services at various city locations. All those in favor indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed, nay. The ayes have it. Motion passes unanimously. Item number seven, discussion of possible approval regarding a request from Ryden Architects to pursue two grants to move forward on designating Warren a registered National Historic District, Char Poirier Program Grants Administrator.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. This is kind of a long time in coming. This, as many of you know, getting Warren this historic designation has been a kind of a priority for people that live here in Warren. And what's happened is that SHPO has an extra $20,000 that they are willing to set aside for Bisbee so that Don Ryden Architects can come and finish auditing a number of properties. There are certain properties that were left out of the original survey. These properties need to be included. And we have a match that we have to meet that can be in kind. And Councilman Dunn has suggested he would be willing to help. And there probably are others that maybe worked with the Warren District in the beginning that would be willing to put some boots on the ground and go down and research at the assessor's office and the recorder's office and make sure as to when these properties were built and what was done to it, who owns it, and how old is it, that kind of a thing. So the first grant, the $20,000, that's already pretty much a done deal as soon as you agree to it and I send in the papers. Then phase two is a $6,000 grant that would continue the rewriting and adding this new scope of work from the new buildings that will be added to the Warren Historic District. And all this is kind of on a timeline. They need to have this back by the end of the federal fiscal year, so we're not too far off. But the sooner we can get going on this, the sooner we can get it moved forward. And Mr. Dunn was gracious enough with Ms. Hansen to sit in on a meeting over the phone with Mr. Ryden so that I could have a little more help in understanding exactly what was going on. So, Mr. Dunn, if you would like to say anything, I would give you the floor.
Well, just some clarification is that this was submitted last year. We thought it was a done deal in terms of the federal level, in terms of the approval as a historic district under the National Historic Sites. It was bounced back to us, and the map that was submitted only included the contributing properties, and they're wanting to also indicate that there are other non-contributing properties in that area. They've also then made a determination that the cutoff of the earlier survey was 1941, and there are 81 properties that were constructed between 1941 and 1950, which was the commencement of the Lavender Pit, and determination, a request has been made to include them in the survey. So that's my understanding of what will be done.
Yes, and there will be also a little rewriting in the text version. The keeper in Washington thought there could be a little bit of language taken out, a little less flowery, is what Mr. Ryden said. So, and I believe there's a person from SHPO, Alyssa. I'm not even going to try to pronounce your last name. But if you would like to come up here and speak to this, we would appreciate it.
Yeah.
While she comes up, we do have quite a few people signed up, and we'll get to all of you.
Mayor Ertley, members of the council, my name is Alyssa Grzeszewski, and I'm here on behalf of the Arizona State Historic Preservation Office, and I'm happy to answer any questions that you have about the National Register review process, the State Historic Property Tax Program, or the grant application review process that happens within our office.
Any questions from the council? I guess we don't have
Thank
any
you.
Questions. What we're going to do now is we're going to have people that are signed up for this come up and speak. Let's start off with Irene, I hope I say it right, Nolan? Yeah.
Hello, my name's Irene Newland. I live on Holtman Street in Warren, and we've lived there about 5 years, so I'm probably a newbie. I want to say a couple of positive things. First, they're all positive to me. But having worked for a community development department in Virginia, and there's a lot of research that backs this up and a lot of statistics, that when you designate a historic district, property values go up, people maintain their properties better, and also you have access, maybe not right now, because I know that a lot of the grants are not available, but there will be in the future grants for those designated communities. So I think it's important to think about, you're not necessarily losing property tax if you're increasing the values of the property. So I think that's important to recognize. So I hope in your consideration that you look at that. Also, we have many, as you know, beautiful houses, wonderful houses that have been retained, renovated with historic considerations. Ours is one of them. And to me, if Old Bisbee is a historic district, I think Warren deserves that same designation, because we have beautiful houses, we have people that have maintained them. Now, on a personal level, in terms of just practical property taxes, I'm not going to lie, my husband and I maintain a lot of the city property. We've had terrible, terrible flooding that comes because the drainage is not done right. We've spent hundreds of dollars on sandbags to try to keep our property from flooding, because the drainage, that's the responsibility of the city to do. And so, as retired people living on fixed incomes, it's important to us to get that break. So I thank you for my time to share with you what I think is important for you to consider.
Thank you, Irene Nolan. Next, we'll go to Margaret Hartnett.
Thank you, Mayor and Council, for this opportunity to address this issue. I live at 137 Black Knob View. My name is Margaret Hartnett. My husband and I have lived in Bisbee since 1992. We've lived in Warren since 2001. And we actually live in one of the oldest houses in Warren. I think some of you have seen the photograph taken from probably what's up on Mill, and you can see City Hall, the Loma Linda, the land sales building, and off in the distance you see two square roofs. The picture I think was taken in 1907 or 8. One of those is my house. And these were the only handmade adobe houses in Warren. And our next door neighbor, it's a good thing we all get along really well because we can hold hands outside the bathroom windows. That's how close we are. So it was one family's property at the time. What I wanted to say is that when I was part of the survey team who walked this town, and we had such a great time. And one of the things I loved about it is that it was teams of three, and I walked with two people from San Jose. They didn't live in Warren. They loved the idea of this project. They loved the concept that Bisbee's ultimate strength is in its unity as a whole community, not this district, that district, but all of us pulling together. And I think that that was well shown by their effort as we walked the streets night after night. I think that when we look forward into Bisbee's future, one of the big cards that we have to play is not as a former great industrial town that it once was, but I think we have to sort of look at this squarely. What we have is that we are a significant historic town in the West, a very historic town in the state of Arizona. And that's a card that we should be proud to play. And anytime we can extend and make that a bigger card or put more of those in our hand, we should play it. And I actually see that by bringing this designation to Warren, it does give us the opportunity to bring people to Warren. The ballpark is amazing, the farmers market, but there's so much more that we could be doing down here that would be helped. I mean, most of us just love driving down Arizona Street because it's so smooth. We could have skateboard parties on Arizona Street. I just think that we could, you know, charge ourselves with opening up our imagination as to how to grow Warren as, you know, a really wonderful borough that everyone should come and visit. I know that the concern is real for the potential loss of the tax revenues if people get their credits. And I just want to be sort of very frank. When you live in a historic house and you love it and you take care of it, you will spend so much more money in a year than you're ever going to get as a tax credit. I mean, I can't even begin to tell you. You know, we live in a living house. It's handmade adobe. We've had to patch that stucco so many times because this house breathes with the change of seasons. And we do it because we love the house and we love what it means to Warren. But what I would say is there's two ways to look at revenue. For every dollar that perhaps we get as a credit from the county on our tax bill, we're giving it to local businesses. It's going to ACE, it's going to B&D, and it's going to local tradespeople who then turn around and spend it in town. And we all know those are the dollars that multiply. So I just wanted to sort of like put that out there as a different way of looking at how we view monies gained, monies lost, monies found elsewhere. And I just hope that you will take all of this into consideration. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Margaret Hartnett. Next, we're going to go to Carol Beecham.
Mayor, council members, Mr. Johnson, Mr. Hansen, thank you for the opportunity to allow me to speak on behalf of agenda item number 7, designating Warren as a historic place. Warren does have an incredible history. It was one of the first planned communities as part of City Beautiful. Washington, D.C. was one, Philadelphia was the other, and Bisbee was the third. This was the beginning, the City Beautiful was the beginning of comprehensive city planning. In other words, City Beautiful idea meant that cities were not just commercial necessities, but that they should be cohesive entities where people can live together and have a wonderful community. Being on the National Register is an important designation and an honor. And from what I understand, the designation would not prevent anyone from altering or improving their property or even destroying their property if they so choose. It also provides a tax deduction, which Margaret spoke about. But more importantly than that is the designation of this designation. People looking to relocate often will look at a historic district or a town who has one. When I, with a lot of members of this community, participated in the survey in Warren several years ago, I was just struck by the architectural integrity and the beautiful and charming houses. There were large houses, small houses, in-between houses. Some were just really beautiful, some weren't fixed up, but it was a really significant community. So I therefore respectfully ask you to approve item number 7. I live in the Warren District, but I'm a member of the entire Bisbee community, as all of us are here. Thank you very much for the opportunity, Steve.
Thank you, Carol Beecham. Let's go to Fred Miller next.
Good evening. Thank you. My name is Fred Miller. I live at 39 Hazard Street. I was told I live in a 1927 dwelling, but I'm talking to Sally Holcomb and her mother. It appears it's like a 1915 building. I'm not sure how that happened, but it is. So I support the attempt to designate Warren as a nationally registered historic district. There's little cost to the residents of Bisbee, and there can be major benefits for us from a historical designation. In 1996, Bisbee's population was 6,758. 20 years later, in 2016, it is 5,575, a loss of about 600 people per decade. We have a declining, aging population. While certainly not the only effort that will halt this decline and rebuild our economy, historic preservation is a proven economic development engine, and it comes very cheap. An historic district would also give added heft to the designations this year as the best U.S. historic small city, thanks to the termites, I guess. And there are termites in Warren, let me tell you. And Sunset Magazine's best small city to live in the West. In researching whether this would be good for our family as well as the city, I focused on the economic impact of historic preservation, specifically taxes. There have been a number of studies conducted throughout the United States in recent years analyzing the economic benefits of historic preservation on property values. The results over the past 20 years on both state and local levels have consistently reported that properties in historic districts appreciate significantly faster than comparable properties not located in historic districts. Although owners of structures in historic districts can get a property tax break, multiple studies show that overall cities benefit from the added valuation generated by historic homes because of the increase in the tax base. The main opposition historically to historic districts seemed to be that giving tax breaks to owners in historic districts shifts the tax burden a lot of bourbon, onto those not in historic districts. And as many studies show, there's ample evidence that illustrate this simply does not happen. Increased tax valuation more than offsets any tax breaks. And as Margaret alluded to, the amount of money that you or she or I or other people in Warren spend to maintain their dwellings recirculates a lot of dollars in our community that's not accounted for. Growing in a historic district also brings subsequent tax valuations. Tourism also adds tax dollars by bringing in visitors interested in preservation and history. In addition to economic sustainability, there are several other potential benefits from a historic designation. Among them are a general renewal of Warren through business revitalization of Arizona Street and Bisbee Road, promotion of public art, upgrading Vista Park, better streets, neighborhood stabilization, civic pride, and community involvement. And we can see from the survey that took place, I guess it's 4 years ago, 5 years ago, there were many, many volunteers that took part in that. Within historic designation, we can build on the efforts of Copper Queen Community Hospital, the Warren Ballpark, and the city's Arizona Street Upgrade, who have all had major stuff done to their properties. There are many cities and small towns facing the exact same economic and depopulation problems as Bisbee. What is fortunate for us is that we live in a place built of natural beauty and historic legacy, and preservation sustains us and offers continuity from the past to the future. So I hope you approve this. Thank you.
Thank you, Fred Miller. Next, let's go to Judy Anderson.
Mayor, members of the council, thank you for the opportunity to speak. I have a lot of notes here, but I'm not going to say all of them because much of what I wanted to say has been said by other people, and I echo their support for the district. I was one of the volunteers who walked a portion of the district and took photographs and helped in the surveying of the district. And I strongly support Warren becoming a national historic district. I will focus just a little bit on the Warren Ballpark since I seem to be affiliated with that. One of the things I want to say is that my husband, who wrote the book on Warren Ballpark, gets calls for tours. And it's been increasing, and he's getting maybe two a month now. So visitors and baseball aficionados are attracted to the Warren area because of the ballpark. And in fact, one day he was doing a tour and somebody else walked up and he ended up doing two tours. And so I think if we can continue to work with the school district, we can increase the traffic coming into the historic district. I also, as a retired city planner, take a lot of pride in living in one of the early planned communities and part of the City Beautiful movement. So with that, I won't say anything else, but I do strongly encourage the council to support applying for these grants so we can finally finish this, what has been a long process. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you, Judy Anderson. Next, we have Rebecca Roscoe.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. I'm Rebecca Roscoe. I live in Warren at Mill Road, where I've been in Bisbee, and I'm a Cochise, third generation Cochise County resident. This has a lot of historic significance to me family-wise. My day job is as a professor of history at Cochise College and adjunct for University of Arizona. And as a historian, I can only emphasize the importance of preserving the history that we have left. I also am involved, as many of you know, in another historic preservation project, Camp Naco. And once we got National Register historic status for Camp Naco, it opened up our project for a number of other grants. Grants for planning, grants for carrying out various kinds of development. So this, getting this designation opens doors that other kinds of projects won't have. I strongly support this, and I hope you will approve it. Thank you.
Thank you, Rebecca Roscoe. I believe that concludes all the people signed up for item number 7. Any questions or comments from the council? Do we have a motion?
Well, I wrote some notes here I can share in terms of explaining that.
Absolutely.
I hate to prepare this and not share it. So. I think just for public information, there have been questions about the tax break. And certainly, if we were approved for the National Register of Historic Places, it would be able to apply then the qualifying properties for a 50% tax break under the State of Arizona Historic Property Tax Reduction Program. And qualifying homes are assessed would be then assessed at a 5% value instead of the normal 10% assessed valuation of residential properties. Businesses are assessed at 20% of their value. To qualify your home must be contributing, and that's what would be identified in terms of the study, to the historic district, and it must be owner-occupied. The tax break is for the contributing structure only and would not cover the rest of the property. You must file an application with photographs and documentation with the county assessor's office, and that application is in turn reviewed and approved by the State Historic Preservation Office, and it must be renewed every 3 years. It was interesting, I think, a year ago when this question came up, and so my data is a little bit old, but at that time there were 189 properties in Bisbee who had taken advantage of this tax break in the old Bisbee Historic District, and that resulted in a projected $21,000 reduction in city property tax, which is a little bit over $100 per property. And indeed, that then in turn was spread over the rest of the city in terms of making up for that loss. It's interesting that two studies have been done, commissioned by the State Historic Preservation Office, as to the impact of this tax break on taxes collected. And I earlier shared concern likewise in terms of what would be the impact on our tax revenue. Results show that the impact over time was neutral, as indicated by several others who spoke here this evening, that the historic designation served to increase property values is what is shown over time. Also, improvements were made that increased the assessed valuation of that property. In short, the tax break was soon capitalized into the property value. A tax break comes, your property values go up because of this designation, and you're back, as the study indicated, you're back to wash, you're back to a wash, you're back to neutral in terms of the impact on taxation. The tax rate goes down, but the property values go up, and the tax collected was neutral. Also, I think it's significant that I've been to many meetings in which the quote from the State Historic Preservation Office comes up, and that is that Bisbee, which includes Old Bisbee and Warren, is the most historically intact community in Arizona. And we certainly have a lot to be proud of there. Certainly references were made to the USDA or USA Today poll of best historic small town. Certainly our historic landscape is vital to our economy. As indicated that, home restoration, frankly, is a major industry in this community. Two hardware stores, numerous small contractors. This is a major industry in this community. Also, it's a major marketing tool. I mean, this is a tremendous status to have in terms of this designation. I'm a trained economist, and I can't help but talk further about tax breaks, because I'm against them. But American people are not. This is an example of similar other tax breaks in America, and Americans love tax breaks. We periodically in a nation talk about reforming and simplifying our tax code, but there's always public resistance to that. And certainly a similar tax break, which I think a significant tax break is the itemized deduction that is allowed on our federal income tax for mortgage interest. And that tax break in itself amounts to $80 billion a year. And those of us who do not have a mortgage, or those of us who rent, which often is lower income people, end up paying more on our federal taxes than to make up the difference. Arizona is crazy in terms of the number of tax deductions that are available for businesses and individuals. The state has 71 separate tax credits, which reduce dollar for dollar what your final tax obligation is. Again, personally, I have some concern about that, and I guess I wanted to share some of that information here today. Again, I certainly strongly advocate moving forward in terms of this designation.
Thank you, Councilmember Dunn. Any other questions or comments from the council? And incidentally, yeah, come on up. Susan Blackford.
I lived in the second historic district in Army Park when I was, and my late husband and I were in Tucson. I was also president of that neighborhood association, and I was a past historic commissioner for the city of Tucson. We did not see any kind of financial problems in that area or with the city of Tucson. In fact, when I was there, more historic districts were becoming because of what everybody said positively here tonight. It gives you a sense of pride to be in a historic district. You do increase your property values in a historic district, and there is a real good sense of community. So another point I wanted to bring up that I hope with Lucci and I, with others, working on the Warren Historic District and Fire Museum this year, that we will have the support of the council in January when we bring our business plan. We will be consisting, as you well know, of our fire department, Evergreen Cemetery, baseball field in the Warren Historic District. So it goes along with the theme what everybody positively said tonight. And I hadn't signed up, but I thank you for the courtesy, Mayor and Council.
Thank you, Susan Blackford. Any other questions or comments from the council? Do we have a motion?
I move that we approve the Ryden Architects to pursue grant applications for purposes of designating Warren a registered National Historic District.
Second.
We have a motion and a second to approve Ryden Architects to pursue grant applications for purposes of designating Warren a registered National Historic District. All those in favor indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Those opposed, nay. The ayes have it. Motion passes unanimously. Item number 8, discussion of possible approval of the subaward agreement between the City of Bisbee and SEGO Area Agency on Aging. Mr. Justin Johnson, City Manager, City of Bisbee. Yeah.
I'm the new
Justin. Oh, excuse me.
I get to go to Athens now to the charity school in Georgia. Yeah, that happened in a town in the state, and that's where you end up, man. You got it made. I can tell you some restaurants to go to and some places to go to. Blow your mind.
Charpoyer.
Yes, Justin asked me to speak for this. This is just the annual subaward agreement that we have with the Southeastern Governments Organization, SEGO. Their AAA, which is the Area Agency on Aging, they help us provide money toward transit of the elderly, people over 60. Every year we go into this agreement, and they provide a partial sum back, a return on what it costs for us to transport elderly people. We keep track of that. We keep a record of that, and it also allows us to provide free passes for the people over 60 and the disabled people. I would recommend the approval of this. This is a very important agreement, and it does bring Bisbee right around $20,000 a year. And this year, of course, we were lucky enough for them to think of us and get an extra $60,000. So we have a good relationship with them, and I would like to keep it that way. And I think we would be foolish if we didn't approve this. This is money that we need, and we haven't, like everybody said, it's an aging population. So to have them as our partner in this, I think, is a good thing.
Thank you. Any questions from the council? I just have one quick comment. You're doing a great job, Char.
Oh, thank you,
thank
sir.
You very much. Do we have a motion?
I move to approve the subaward agreement between the City of Bisbee and SEGO Area Aging Agency on Aging.
Second.
We have a motion and a second to approve the subaward agreement between the City of Bisbee and SEGO Area Agency on Aging. All those in favor indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed, nay. The ayes have it. Motion passes unanimously. Item number 9, Discussion and possible approval to accept the bid and enter into a contract with KE&G for chip seal of Adams Avenue and Old Bisbee. Andy Heratic, Public Works Director.
Thank you, Mayor and Council. I just want to clear a few things up on this bid as well to let you know that it also includes Laundry Hill. And as a detail, we're going to have a bit of a drainage, a magnificent drainage issue, because all this water is going to hit this paved street and run down that hill like a train, freight train. So we are going to pave Laundry Hill with asphalt, and we're also going to be working with the drainage problem, because we are going to have a drainage problem. So when we go up to chip seal this road, we're calling it the Adams Chip Seal Project, but we will also be doing Laundry Hill. So I would like to move that you accept the bid to enter into a contract with KMG for the chip seal of Adams Avenue in Old Bisbee.
Any questions from the council?
I move that we approve, accept the bid, enter into a contract with KE&G for the chip seal of Adams Avenue in Old Bisbee.
I second.
We have a motion and a second to approve to accept the bid and enter into a contract with KE&G for chip seal of Adams Avenue in Old Bisbee. All those in favor indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed, nay. The ayes have it. Motion passes unanimously. Thank you, Mr. Heratic. Item number 10, discussion of possible approval to enter into an intergovernmental agreement with the Arizona Department of Transportation, ADOT, to inspect city bridges. The cost of these inspections is federally funded by the Federal Highway Administration. Once again, Mr. Andy Heratic, Public Works Director.
Thank you again, Mayor and Council. We are very fortunate that the United States Congress has set a good deal of money aside for bridges in the United States. This took the collapse of a couple big ones for them to go ahead and come forth. So Arizona is now being allotted, along with every state in America, a pot of money to do bridge inspections. These bridge inspections for us are important because these represent all the bridges up on Main Street in Tombstone Canyon. We have a total of 19 bridges in Bisbee. That's a lot of bridges for a small city. Not all the bridges are large, but we have that many bridges that need to be inspected. This program is really terrific because in the past we were paying for these bridge inspections, and so this is going to be fully funded by ADOT. They will do all the inspection work for us.
Well, I appreciate that very much, and I know across the country there's many, many bridges, thousands that are not in real good shape, so it'd be good to find out where our bridges are. Obviously, we're not going across the Mississippi River or anything, but they need to be looked at, and this is a good thing.
Yes, Mayor. I mean, the Mississippi or the Mule Gulch Channel, when you fall down, when a bridge collapses, it's a collapse. It's bad, no matter how big or little that bridge is.
Any questions from the council? Council Member Hansen.
I just wanted to comment that this works in very well with the streets and infrastructure and with the paving, so we'll know what bridges that are going to need to be attended to.
Yeah, that's
so
exactly right.
Good job.
Yeah, thank you.
Any other questions from the council? Do we have a motion?
I move that we approve to accept the bid and enter into a contract. Wrong one. I move we approve to enter into intergovernmental agreement with the Arizona Department of Transportation to inspect city bridges.
Second.
We have a motion and a second to approve to enter into an intergovernmental agreement with the Arizona Department of Transportation, ADOT, to inspect city bridges. And the cost of these inspections are federally funded by the Federal Highway Administration. All those in favor indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed, nay. The ayes have it. Motion passes unanimously. Thank you, Mr. Heratic. Item number 11, and we do have a couple of people signed up for this one. Discussion of possible approval. Excuse me, that's number 10. Discussion of possible approval to retain Tim Hogan and the Arizona Center for Law and the Public Interest to defend the lawfulness of City Ordinance O-13-14, which prohibits retailers from providing single-use plastic bags to customers. Mr. Hansen, City Attorney.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. This, by the way, is notice for a possible executive session, but whether the council chooses to do it or not, I think there's certain information that would certainly easily be made public. First of all, deja vu. We were here again. We were here this time last year on the same issue. The state had passed a plastic a ban on plastic bag bans. The council voted 4-3 to keep the bag ban in place. So we did so, did not hear a peep from the Attorney General or anyone else about a bag ban. Then this past spring, the legislature repassed the bag ban primarily to correct a defect in the legislation from the previous year that really doesn't have any bearing on how it affects the city of Bisbee. The one thing that is different this year than last year is the state also passed a separate piece of legislation that would allow a legislator to ask the Attorney General to review any city ordinance in the state to see if it conflicts with state law. And if the Attorney General concludes that it does, then the Attorney General could take one of a number of actions, and one of those is to request the state treasurer to withhold state shared revenues from that city unless and until it repeals that ordinance. So that's the one thing that is different sitting here this year than last year. Meanwhile, last year when the legislation was enacted, and I had talked to a couple of different city attorneys around the state that were interested in challenging the ban, the state legislation on banning plastic bag bans. I also came in contact with Tim Hogan with the Arizona Center for Law and the Public Interest. I've known Tim for some years from other litigation that I've been involved with. And he was, at the time, and still is, representing a councilwoman from the city of Tempe, who was interested in proposing an ordinance similar to the one that Bisbee passed and trying to invalidate the legislation so that she could move forward with an ordinance in Tempe as well. Anyway, during that since I made that contact, when the legislation was rumbling around again this year, I talked to Mr. Hogan and asked him if he was interested in representing the city of Bisbee for free if the council so chose, and he indicated that he would be by amending his complaint to add Bisbee as a party plaintiff to that lawsuit. That, I think, is kind of the backbone of what I had to say. I would be glad to take questions. I understand some members of the audience also have some comments. This is not coming with a recommendation from the city attorney. It's not appropriate. This is, you know, it's partly a legal issue, and I'd be glad to share my thoughts about legal tactics and legal strategy, but obviously I could not do that in open session, but I could take other questions that the council or anybody else might have.
Thank you, Mr. Hansen. I think what we will do now is we will hear from the various people that have signed up for this. We will start with Ms. Susan Blackford.
Susan Blackford, representing the original bag ladies, myself and Florence Scott, and over the 700 signatures in the initiative that we got in July of 2014, asking you all to just allow us to vote on this issue. I and many others in this town cannot believe you are considering this action to go ahead and violate state law. First of all, there's no plastic bag crisis in Bisbee. We do not affect any landfills or the ocean. If you did your research before taking action, you would read, like I did, that there is no real problems. Look around the town, folks. The people who were tying the bags to the trees have seemed to stop. Remember all the pictures twice I showed you? This whole issue is about taking our right to vote away. This bag issue is a setup for a certain political agenda. Do you not understand that all the new state laws written by the state are because of your council actions alone? Mr. Hansen said you haven't heard a peep. By George, there has been more than a peep. The first one was one you all voted, including Mayor Bedall, former councilperson Smith and Budge, then councilpersons Connors, Dunn, Hansen, and Sullivan, all together voted on three separate times to deny the voters of this town the right to vote on the bag ordinance. I want to tell you some personal conversations up with the State House that they have been paying attention for a long time, Mr. Hansen, on what this city's been doing about violating people's right to vote. This is what this is all about. Not about if there's a bag or not. I don't know what more they have to do to get your all attention, but you need to pay attention. Also, please note that Councilmember Hansen is a retired military lieutenant colonel, denying your right to vote with her March vote of 2015. Actions speak louder than words. You are still taxing us without a vote, which is a violation of the city charter, which you should realize, city attorney, and the U.S. Constitution, which you should realize, city attorney. It's taxation without representation. It is still a tax, even if you decide to call it a fee. Just a sleight of hand, in my opinion. This is what our initiative of over 700 voters' signatures were all about in July of 2014, to just give us the right to vote on this issue. Why are all of your opinions more important than the voters of this town? Then the city attorney in May 2015 sent another letter to the state stating to violate the new state law 1241. Then the state, seeing that action, did a new law. There's where your peep came. They've been working on this new law, putting legal action statewide, stating that any town or city does not hold up any state law will lose state revenue funding. This will go into effect in August. If you don't change it within 30 days, there is a possibility that we could be losing over $2 million or more of state dollars. Let me say that again. With the loss of over $2 million or more state revenue dollars, what would that do to this town and budget, like close down City Hall or shut down services that we all depend on? Why are the four of you so bound in destroying this town? There are other major issues to worry about, like our con license. Are you worried about that? About the Queen Mine being taken away from the city? Is there any talk about that? How about the paving of the airport, which is in much need of that, after this city manager let a $3,000 grant go without telling you all? And you guys aren't even upset. You are causing this state to take action against us, and I don't know why you can't understand it. Are you still going to vote tonight to do this action by hiring Mr. Tim Hogan, who is suing the state, as Mr. Hansen said, representing Tempe? In my opinion, you are violating your duties as city council persons and city attorney. Over what? Even the state of California is letting the voters decide on this bag issue by a vote in November. What are you scared about? Why have you taken the citizens of this town vote away? If we lost, we lost. It's still a democratic process. The city also needs to know if there will be any upfront cost. It will still cost us when you lose, and you will lose. You are making the decision again without any input from the taxpayers and the voters with your actions. Why are your opinion of just four people more important than the citizens of this town? Why are you, the gang of four, still wanting to continue to divide this town over an issue that denies us our constitutional right to vote? Your actions will have consequences. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Susan Blackford. Just a quick clarification. Is it not true, Mr. Hansen, that the state statute takes effect August the 6th?
That's correct.
Also, is it not true, upon notification to the municipal government, of Bisbee that we have 30 days to repeal Ordinance 01314 and state share of revenues will be withheld. And I understand it's not for the whole year. It would be until the time that we repeal the ordinance. Is that correct? Thank you. Let's go to some other speakers. Fred Miller.
Well, the issue isn't about voting. It's about legislators usurping local power, and that's what they're challenging, and I think that we ought to really support that. It may be that it's the focus of what they're doing is Bisbee or possibly Tempe, but where does it stop that they say that, well, Bisbee can't do this, they can't do this, they can't do that? And I think that needs to be adjudicated in court rather than in any kind of public opinion place. This is a really, really a drastic overreach. They're the state legislature, the law that they're challenging, prohibits recycling of any containers. We could never charge anybody for plastic bottles or cans or anything like that, or beer bottles. It prohibits, statewide, it prohibits that. And that does nothing in terms of litter. There's all kinds of things that it doesn't do. But the legislature in Arizona complains about the federal government doing imposing their will upon them. But that's exactly what they're doing to us. And I think it ought to be challenged. And I hope you'll vote to challenge it. And I sign on to Mr. Hogan's suit.
Thank you, Mr. Fred Miller. We have another speaker, but I'm going to make a few other comments, and certainly the council is welcome to do that.
That's it. That's the only person that wants those two people. The only people that took.
There's one more. I was going to make a few comments, but we can go to that speaker if you so desire.
I thought that's what you said you were going to do. Is let the people.
Okay,
speak.
We will do that.
Let's go to
Judy Anderson.
Mayor, members of the council, again, thank you for letting me speak. I had actually no intention of speaking on this issue. I was here for item 7, but I do want to support the challenge to the legislature in support of the bag ordinance. I've taken a lot of pride in some of the progressive stances that our council has entered into, and am proud to be living in the community for that reason. I also feel, with all due respect to Ms. Blackford, that I elected you to make decisions. I don't really feel, myself at least, that it's necessary for this to go to a vote, because I voted for the two representatives from my ward, which is Councilmember Hansen and Councilmember Dunn, to make those decisions along with the other members. So with that, I just want to say that I do support hiring Mr. Hogan to join into the lawsuit with Tempe.
Thank you, Judy Anderson. Questions or comments from the council?
I have some comments I'd like to make.
Councilmember Hansen.
First of all, Ms. Blackford, being a retired lieutenant colonel has absolutely nothing to do with the right to vote. And you had the chance with the petition to put it on the ballot. And there were technical problems. So you had your chance. And I'm really tired of being chastised over the fact that that petition was technically not accurate. So you had your chance. Now, on to this particular issue. First of all, this is much bigger than the ban for plastics. This is an issue, as Mr. Miller indicated, of our authority to vote on local issues. The Arizona State Constitution in Article 13 grants specific authority for cities with a population of more than 3,500 to adopt a city charter. This provision recognizes the authority of locally elected decision makers to make local decisions and the ability of the level of government closest to
the citizens to make, to respond to specific needs in their communities. That is what this is all about. And I don't think that we should let the state of Arizona take away our authority to make decisions locally. Two different pieces of legislation came before the Arizona legislature. The first one was the one where they took out the second bill or the second issue from House Bill 2131. In summary, it prohibits cities, towns, and counties from restricting businesses from using auxiliary containers, which include plastic bands. This was opposed by the League of Cities and Towns. The League opposed the bill because it's an encroachment on local authority. That was the whole reason that they opposed it. Bill 1487, that our great attorney over here was talking about, to summarize it, excuse me, Senate Bill 1487 would withhold shared revenue from cities and towns that are founded by the attorney, they're found by the Attorney General to have violated state law. Again, it was opposed by the League. The League testified in opposition to the bill as an attack on local authority and a bypassing of the constitutional protection of due process. Due process. Oh, and by the way, the first one about the Constitution is from Exploring the Charter Government for Your City, which is put out by the League of City and Towns. Sorry, I have some water. Courts and the Charter Authority. A reoccurring question about charter government relates to the actual powers it gives a city and the relation of those powers to the powers of the state. This is an area often dealt with by the judicial branch of the state government, and the court's response provides an interpretation of the extent of the charter powers. 1487 takes that due process away from the cities. And if that's what you want, then encourage us to vote against it, but I will not vote against it.
Any other questions or comments from the council?
I likewise.
Council Member Dunn.
Yes, I prepared a statement as well. This is an extremely important issue that we have before us. And cities are across the state are looking to the decision we make here this evening. An earlier headline in the Bisbee Review read, "Battle over plastics, ? Bisbee to consider fighting state's ban on bag bans." And I want to echo what Councilman Hansen has said, that this is much bigger. This is a much bigger issue than plastic bags. An alternative headline might have been "Battle over Charter Authority of Cities." As indicated earlier by one called the public, we have a legislature that's obsessed with what they can are perceived as federal encroachments on state rights, and yet they have no hesitation in encroaching on the charter rights of cities as spelled out in the Arizona Constitution. And the only way that we're going to resolve this is through a court of law. As Councilman Hansel has indicated, this is being done in collaboration with other cities and certainly in alignment with the Arizona League of Cities and Towns. We have retained Tim Hogan with the Arizona Center of Law for the Public Interest to challenge this. And they are asking us to join in that legal challenge at no cost to the city. And certainly this is something that needs to be settled in the courts rather than in the public arena. This is extremely interesting legislation that we're challenging here. House Bill 2131 has been labeled in the press as the Bisbee Bag Ban Bill. The bill, however, is much more encompassing than plastic bags. The bill states the regulation of the sale, use, and disposal of auxiliary containers is a matter of statewide concern and is not subject to regulation by a city or town. Auxiliary containers are defined, quote, as reusable bags, disposable bags, boxes, beverage cans, bottles, cups, and containers not made are containers made of cloth, plastic, glass, aluminum, cardboard, or other materials used for transporting food or other merchandise to a business or a multi-family housing property. The bill also goes on to state a city may not impose a tax fee assessment or charge for auxiliary containers. The provision was targeted to the fee that Bisbee bag ordinance allows businesses to charge to recover their cost of providing a paper bag, not a penny of which has gone to the city of Bisbee. Of even more important consideration to me is the city of Bisbee currently charges residents 50 cents a month on their garbage bill to fund our recycling program, which under this legislation could be defined as a fee on disposition of auxiliary containers. I think we are very proud of our recycling program here in Bisbee and is recognized as one of the most successful in the state. This is what is at issue. Last year also, while the challenge is not against Senate Bill 1487, it's hard to discuss this without reference to Senate Bill 1487, which allows the state to withhold state-shared revenue to a county, city, or town that, quote, one or more members of the legislature allege violates state law or constitution. Did you hear me? One or more members of the legislature allege violates state law or constitution of the Arizona. The Hogan suit does not, I don't believe, is undertaking that particular challenge, but certainly it will be addressed later. Certainly as indicated at the mayor's request, that bill states that if we are cited under this, that we have 30 days in which to resolve that violation, and certainly at that time we would have a decision either to bail out by rescinding the bag ordinance or to join in some suit in terms of challenging that. And certainly I assure you that Senate Bill 1487 will be challenged in the courts. It is a direct affront of the checks and balances of the three branches of our American system of government. It allows the legislator, in conjunction with the state attorney general, to circumvent the courts and the American judicial system in the interpretation of law. It's totally, totally contrary to the three branches of government that are in our American system of government. So tonight we are, the cities and towns of Arizona, are looking to Bisbee and talking with our city clerk. We've had a number of calls from the state news media who are immediately concerned with what is going to happen here this evening. We are certainly in the forefront this evening. Cities in this state, as well as the news media, are looking to Bisbee for the outcome of this decision.
Other questions or comments from the council? Council Member Dowdy.
Well, speaking for the elderly and the handicapped people in Bisbee, it is very difficult to go into a store and carry out a paper bag. I have seen many times the paper bags break sometimes before people ever get out of Safeway store. I don't know whether anybody else has noticed it or not, but I have helped pick up groceries out of Safeway parking lot many times until I have been handicapped myself with the walker. And the cashiers say, oh, do you want a paper bag? I ask them, how can I carry a paper bag? And they'll give me one anyway and charge me for it. I resent having to pay 50 cents. They charge me 50 cents instead of 5 cents. And I resent that. Therefore, I don't do a lot of shopping in Bisbee. Sometimes it's cheaper for me to drive to Sierra Vista if I'm going to the doctors in Sierra Vista. I will shop over there. I get plastic bags over there, but it's very, very difficult for me to carry out a paper bag with the walker. And I know many of you here don't have that problem, but and a lot of the elderly people in town, I've seen them struggle with the paper bags. And I said, well, not even just elderly. I saw one young lady carrying a baby, and they hand her a paper bag. She couldn't get her car open. She had this paper bag of groceries and the baby. Where are the carry-outs? The carry-outs don't like to carry groceries out. I found that out. But I assisted this young lady with her groceries and her baby. You know, think about it, folks. It's just very, very difficult. Thank you.
Councilmember Connors, you
have... Thank you, Mayor.
Yeah.
It's just so awful that, you know, these laws were passed after we passed our little ordinance down here, and now it, you know, it's being extorted to or threatened, you know, with withholding money, and like you know, I just bring to mind Governor Jan Brewer with her finger in President Obama's face, you know, and telling him about health care, the Affordable Health Care Act, and like people have spoken to up here, we shouldn't be pushed around as Doug Dunn and Joan Hansen have very articulately put out. It's crazy, you know. It's absolutely crazy. In the first hour and a half, first hour of this meeting, we were just listening to how beautiful this town is and how much everybody loves being here. And this is part of the process of you know, getting people elected that you want to speak for you, and it's just so incredible. I love this site so much, but the politics are just so ugly. And you can guess where I'm going. At no cost, Tim Hogan is my guy. They don't need to cram anything down our throats. And we had no intention of telling Phoenix, the state of Maricopa, what to do. But it's frightening, you know, how people behave and how people respond to a good idea, you know. I sometimes have so many bags that I have to push my cart out to my truck to put the bags in one at a time instead of trying to carry them all out. But that's just me, you know. I'm proud to be here, sitting here tonight. And was not my issue, was not my agenda when this thing came up. It was just time, you know. Jenny Druckmann and a few, and Cochise College, I believe, was involved in it. They waited 4.5 years, 2.5 councils that just kept kicking it around. And Mayor Badal had the courage to take it up and just say, let's get this thing done, you know. And here we are. Here we are, you know, 4 years almost later, 3.5 years. But I guess it's time. It's time that we dig heels in and be the mouse that roars and say, no way. You know, thanks for indulging me, Mayor.
Yeah. Any other comments? I have a few if there's no other comments. I want to preface my comments with this. I take my own bags to the store. I just feel better about that in relation to the environment. It just makes me feel better. It's almost a badge of honor in a way. I also have noticed that the city is cleaner, especially down in my area where I live at. I don't really see plastic bags in my area anymore. Once in a while, maybe once a month, it might be a little one, but I don't really see those. And the other thing I've noticed in town, this ordinance, has anybody ever enforced it? No. Not that I know of. So it's a non-enforceable ordinance. So I don't know how we would do that. Chief Achave, do you have a couple of officers who can hide behind shelves and watch? I don't, obviously, no. I also would like to know the parameters of what, I think there's 18 charter city governments in the state of Arizona. I believe that's what the number is. I would like to know the parameters of what these charter governments can and cannot do. However, that we are in a sense, at least in the eyes of many of the state legislators and the governor, in their eyes anyway, that we're kind of thumbing our noses at them. And so when we're dealing with state agencies, such as ADOT, SHPO, State Historic Preservation Office, Department of Health Services, Department of Housing, which I'm dealing with right now, and Wastewater Infrastructure Finance Authority, and other agencies that we are dependent upon. And when those decisions are made, are we going to allow BSBE to have this grant or help? When those decisions come down, those people are going to be thinking, oh, whether they passed it before the law, whether we passed it before their law, I understand what you're saying, Councilman Connors.
You know,
but I understand that. But the problem is they're going to get together and say, we'll give that money to Benson.
No,
I know that's the way it acts.
That's the way it acts. Oh, Mayor, come on. We are not thumbing. We are not putting our thumb in their eye or their nose. We passed this ordinance. They responded to us, and we're very heavy-handed, and we're just responding to the force with which they're coming down at. And if you think that we're putting, you know, like you said, you know, thumbing whatever we're thumbing at them.
No.
It's not.
You're misrepresenting what I said. I said that is what they believe, not what I believe. That is what they believe.
How do you know?
Well, look at the second order, 1487, that they passed.
But
they're not happy, obviously.
They're not happy, but they're overreaching, Mayor. Come on, you know. You know, they're cramming something down our throat, and they're extorting us. What else are you going to roll over on?
I appreciate what you're saying, but this is the reality.
I want to know some more reality. What else are we going to give in to? Everything that they are pissed at us for doing? Just name one other thing that you'd be willing to undo.
I think I just stated I would like to know the parameters of what charter governments can and cannot do. I would like to know that. But you are flirting.
Right,
you are flirting with the disaster of state share revenue.
We're not flirting with anything.
Can I say something?
Yeah, Councilman.
Right. This whole thing is about local authority. It's about us losing our due process because it's not going before a court. 1487 is basically saying that two legislatures, if they allege that we have done something that is against the law of the state law, that the Attorney General does that investigation. There are no courts involved with that. That is dealing with due process, and that is the reason that we need to be part of this lawsuit.
Well,
we're going to lose our local authority.
I stated that I would like to know the parameters in court of what charter governments can and cannot do. But we are in a situation, let me refer to Mr. Hansen, if we would take this up, this Tim Hogan challenge in the court, this could go on for 6 months. It could go on for a long time. It could be appealed. I don't know the outcome of that, but at a certain point in time, there's no doubt in my mind, the Attorney General is going to notify the city of BSBE, you have 30 days to rescind this ordinance or your state share revenues are not coming. And that is serious, serious problem for our city finances. So that is what I'm bringing up. So the only solution that I can see, and I'm sure most of the council won't agree with it, is repeal 01314. Then I would 100% support challenging this in the court to knowing the parameters of what charter governments can and cannot do? Because I would like to know that. I think it's important for us to know that.
If we repeal it, then we don't have to go to court.
Why not?
That's a matter. Come on. You're repealing it. The reason why we're going to court is because we won't repeal it.
Well,
and if we repeal it, then we don't have to go to court.
Well, I'm pretty certain what's going to happen, and maybe Mr. Hansen can give me some reflection on this. If this court thing could last for some period of time. Is that correct?
The wheels of justice do tend to grind slowly. I would
That's
grant
right.
you that.
Mayor.
And so you're going to run into a situation when that statute takes effect August the 6th. There's no doubt in my mind Bisbee is probably going to be notified within a week. You have 30 days to repeal that ordinance or your state shared revenues are not coming forth. That is a serious thing that we're dealing with.
What if we don't? What if enough people are involved in this that have the same skin in the game, you know, because they're starting down, we're going to just start picking things out of those charters, and you wrap your arms around the charter and how important it is that because and you railed against Mr. Johnson one night that was despicable about charter and him trying to just reclassify somebody. It's amazing how you quote the charter, not chapter and verse, you just quote the document, but you don't know. You know, just I don't quote the charter.
Well, we're getting off topic a little bit, but
no, we're not. We're way on topic.
Well, I didn't rail against the city manager.
You sure did.
You're misrepresenting.
You sure did.
Mr. Connors, I believe you're out of order.
Councilmember Dad.
Okay.
Sorry. So, I believe it needs to go to court, but I think you're running a dangerous game of not repealing 013-14. You're going to have your state shared revenue withheld. That is very serious. You're talking about employees maybe having to be laid off. And that is unacceptable. And so the solution that I see is repeal 013-14, challenge it in court. I would 100% support that, to know the parameters of what charter governments can and cannot do.
Mayor?
Councilmember Sullivan.
I don't think we should repeal it. But we could possibly put a moratorium on it until we find out how the lawsuit goes.
I appreciate what you're saying. That kind of makes sense, but I think there's kind of a moratorium already because it's not enforced.
No, there's not an official moratorium.
I don't know what a moratorium would mean.
It is a temporary suspension until a certain date specified, whether something's resolved or whatever. It's usually used when something is sort of up in the air, there's something pending, and then you don't want to take it away completely and repeal it, because that's, like you said, throwing it in, but you can still postpone it.
I can appreciate that. That's interesting. What's your thoughts on that, Mr. Hansen?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'd call it a suspension of the ordinance, and I had some thoughts about that, discussed it with a couple of attorneys, including Mr. Hogan. From two angles. One, if the ordinance was suspended, would it affect our tactics and strategy in the lawsuit? Would it adversely affect him? I think the answer to that is no. But I don't think the other aspect that I look at it from was whether or not it would immunize the city against SB 1487, the state's shared revenue law. And it wouldn't, because the ordinance would still be in effect. Even if it was suspended, the argument would be that it would be contrary to state law. So it wouldn't, I don't think it would gain the city anything by doing that. I don't think the city would lose anything by doing that. I think it would be neutral.
Mayor?
Councilmember Dunn.
certainly, I likewise wish to move forward and able to, on the suit, specifically to clarify the parameters of what the charter does and not does not allow cities to do. And that really is what we're talking about. We're not talking about a bag ordinance. I mean, that's something we certainly can address again at a future meeting, council meeting. What's being defined here is what defining the parameters of charter government. And it needs to move out of the political arena into the to the judicial arena. Also, as you quoted in terms of the Senate Bill 1487, and that is if some legislator determines that we are in violation, alleges that we are in violation, that's all it takes, alleges, we have 30 days in which to respond. And certainly if that occurs, I mean, we're trying to anticipate something now that might occur. Well, certainly if it does occur, we'll have 30 days in which to discuss this and to bail out. If that is an appropriate, the council's choice. I want to stress that we're discussing the bag ordinance when this is much, much more than the bag ordinance. Yes. We're talking about the charter authority of cities. The cities of Arizona are looking to us. The decision we're making here this evening, and as Ashley has indicated, she's gotten multiple phone calls from the national or from the state press in terms of this is a significant event that we're voting on here, action that we're voting on here this evening. The state is very interested in what our response to this is.
Yeah, I appreciate what Councilmember Dunn is saying. I really do, because I would like to know the parameters of a charter of governments of determining their own laws as well. And so bailing out, there's another word for that called repeal? Yeah, okay.
We can do that 30 days after we're notified, right.
Okay. Councilmember Klein.
Just a quick comment, because I think in some of this we're getting way off topic here, but as Councilmember Hansen stated, she feels we're losing our due process, which is what many citizens felt, that they lost their due process when the ban took place. And that's all I'm going to say on that. My concern, Mr. Hansen, is that when we're sworn in, when we take our oath, when we come in office, we are sworn in to uphold the laws of the state. And that's my concern. You know, if it is a law, then we need to uphold it until something changes.
But it wasn't a law until we did what we did.
But it is now. But it is now.
That is the crux of the biscuit, though. That's what we're fighting.
But it's still a law, nonetheless.
Mayor, certainly our legislators also swear to the same thing we do, and that is to adhere to the Constitution, Arizona Constitution. And that's what we're trying to define here with this suit here. What is the Arizona Constitution with reference to this issue? It's not something that should be decided politically among this body or politically by the legislature or politically by the press. This needs to be resolved in a law, a court of law.
I appreciate that. Let me just say this. I don't think the courts will side with Bisbee on this because it would create a mosaic of charter government, different laws everywhere. I think they would be very reluctant to do that. I don't mean to speak as a judge or a lawyer because I'm not either one. But I don't think they're going to rule favorably on that.
We'll find out.
But I appreciate what you said. What you said, we can bail out. That sounds better than repeal, doesn't it? So I think that's probably the route that we're going to have to take somewhere down the line, because I don't think this is going to be resolved in the courts very quickly. I think it's going to be months and months. So it's beyond the bags. It's really truly is. And so I want to see what the courts say, what the parameters of charter governments can and cannot do. I truly do. And I'm not sure if it's ever been tested before. You have any court cases that's been tested? Mr. Hansen, do you know of any?
On city charter law?
Well, I know
scope.
Tucson had the voting thing.
Yes,
there's been quite a few cases on it, and I cited a couple in my letter to the Attorney General last year that would support the argument. Honestly, the cases are not entirely consistent in Arizona on this issue, which is why it'll be a very interesting issue. But yeah, there are cases on it, and I could give you the cases for it, and I could give you some cases that if I were on the other side, I'd cite against it. But yeah. I thought the one that was probably the most on point was, I think it was the city of Tucson passed a ban on smoking in public buildings before the state had a similar law. They passed the charter law on that, and the courts upheld that against a challenge on the basis that a charter city has the right to do that. So, but as I say, there's a lot of cases, and they're all over the place.
Yes. Councilmember Hansen.
I just want to reply to Councilmember Klein. Due process was done. A petition was circulated, and it failed. So due process was there.
Getting rather testy here tonight, but kind of fun. I'm not sure if we're going to have people come back up that have already... I don't think I'm going to...
Especially you.
No. The chair is not going to allow that.
Thank you.
Mayor?
I think this, just a quick observation, and I'm kind of addressing the city attorney to a certain degree. A quick observation is many communities are a lot more active than they were maybe 20, 30, 40 years ago. They're more energetic, like Visby, for example. And so my feeling is if the court system would say, yes, Bisbee can do this, they can make their own law on this. Other cities are going to come out on a variety of other topics, and I think that's why the court's going to say, no, you got to obey state law. That's what I think.
And the argument that would be made on the city's behalf and on the same argument the League of Cities would make is that the charter provision in the Constitution is especially designed to allow that to happen. It's kind of an experimental, bottom-up process where different cities experiment with different laws. And I think the example of the Tucson ban against smoking in public buildings was later adopted by the legislature, kind of following the Tucson model as the experiment in that. But anyway, but that's I'm sure somebody will be making that argument.
I'm just kind of curious,
including the governor,
how far various municipal charter governments will go with making up their own laws. And I guess that is something that I'm somewhat intellectually fascinated with, what the courts will do. Councilmember
Mayor, I would like to move to retain Tim Hogan in the Arizona Center for Law in the Public Interest to defend the lawfulness of City Ordinance 01314, which prohibits retailers from providing single-use plastic bags.
I second.
Any more questions or comments from the council? I just have one final comment. I will support this. However, it's hinged on the fact that we're probably going to have to bail out. And so there's no doubt repeal. And so I will support it only in that regard because I really want to know what charter governments can and cannot do, and it truly is beyond bags. So expect in August a notification from the Attorney General's office because I'm certain that's going to happen. Councilmember Hansen.
One other question concerning that is the fact that is the process when there needs to be an interpretation of what the city can do versus the state. And that's the whole process is that goes to court for that interpretation, just like it has in other cases with other cities. So, you know, the fact that we are asking for or to be part of that lawsuit is what we're basically asking.
Any other comments or questions? We have a motion and a second. We have a motion and a second to retain Tim Hogan and the Arizona Center for Law, the public interest to defend the lawfulness of City Ordinance 01314, which prohibits retailers from providing single-use plastic bags to customers. On this item, Ms. Coronado, I need a roll call vote.
Councilmember Connors?
Aye.
Councilmember Hansen?
Aye.
Councilmember Dowdy?
Aye.
Mayor Pro Tem Klein?
Nay.
Councilmember Dunn?
Aye.
Councilmember Sullivan?
Aye.
Mayor Early?
Aye. Motion passes 6-1. Next, we will go to the City Manager's Report.
Thank you, Mayor. Very quickly, you all received an email was sent out with your monthly financials earlier today or yesterday, I believe. So just very quickly, with 92% of the fiscal year that's elapsed, On our revenue side, we've collected about 88.4% of the projected revenues for this year. Obviously, the charge for services or interfacility transfers have been extraordinarily high, and we've collected over 123% of those collections. On the expenditure side, we've only expended about 85.1% of the total expenditures per budget. So net revenues over expenditures up to May 31st, 2016 is $246,822, and that's a big credit to your department heads that have done an extraordinary job as it relates to managing their budget, and obviously to the firefighters, both Bisbee and Palominas, for the hard work they've done as it relates to the interfacility transfer program. I wanted to acknowledge a couple of employees, and Raul Hidalgo, he's hitting his five-year mark. Raul works in our streets division, and he's one of the main drivers, kind of boots on the ground. He operates more like a superintendent, but he's our senior equipment operator, and he's one of the main drivers that I have to give so much credit to for the paving program, his foresight, input, leadership that he's demonstrated as it relates to the paving project. Has been extraordinary. So extraordinary. So when you see him, please congratulate him on his 5 years. So we have poachers trying to take him. So I want you all to know that. Also in wastewater, Mike Teron has he's received his grade 3 certification. One of the things that I've recognized since my time here, Mike has worked extremely hard on getting that grade 3, and I admire his persistence and the work that he's put in time and time again. For that grade 3, and I just want you all to know that he's worked so hard, and for that to happen, Nanette Sussler, who's the deputy county manager for Pima County, and she and I, you know, obviously I reached out to her, said, hey, look, we need some help in this particular area, and she's opened up the wastewater department up in Pima County for our employees to get up there, get some additional training and support, and it's attributed to the success of our employees in some respect is attributed to their open arms as it relates to getting our employees more opportunities for additional training and just to get a different perspective on how wastewater treatment facilities work. Earlier today, I sent you all an email about a special session. Please disregard that email. We were able to speak with a representative from the state of Arizona as it relates to the approving of the state contract or the cooperative agreement. So please disregard that email. We can have that item added to the agenda on July the 5th. This past weekend, obviously, our Pride Festival, and I want to publicly acknowledge and say thank you to Sheriff Daniels and Commander Gantz from the Cochise County Sheriff's Office. I mean, they were just phenomenal and supported us. Chief Thrasher from Sierra Vista, our friends down at, with the city of Douglas, they certainly came to they were just so supportive of us, as well as DPS and Border Patrol. So I wanted to just thank them publicly for their support for this past weekend, and it was just great to see the outpouring of support from those various agencies. The fire department, they finalized the measurements for the turnout gear, and it's going to take about 30 days for them to get the gear, but Chief informed me today that they did have their final measurements on today. The economic development coordinator, Marcus Johnson from the city of Sierra Vista, has been working on coordinating an initiative, and that initiative is related to housing. And so with his hard work and effort and persistence, they've organized an informational session with NACA, which is the Neighborhood Assistance Cooperative of Corporation of America, which provides no down payment, no closing costs, no fees, associated with home buying. We're going to post the actual flyer out here in the hallway, and we'll also post it on the website. But this initiative is about getting people in housing. All the vacant housing all throughout Cochise County obviously is an issue, and it is an issue here in Bisbee. And it's the efforts of Marcus, and he's interfaced with members of our Bisbee committee with getting this program started. So you'll hear more information about that, but that event doesn't happen until August the 6th, 2016, from 10 to 12. At the Sierra Vista Police Department Training Center. So there'll be more information about it. So if you hear about it, please pass the word. I think it'll be very beneficial for many in our community. And lastly, with tonight being my last night, I want to say thank you to Mayor Ertley and all the members of the council for the support, the initiative, input, kicking the butts from time to time in my time here. This is the first time in any community that I've lived between here and Georgia that I felt so welcome. And what's more important for me is the fact that this community embraced my family. And I'm not going to get emotional. I said I wasn't going to cry, but I might. But I just want to tell y'all thank you. I have to also say thank you to former Councilmember Smith, Budge, and former Mayor Badal for this opportunity. This has been one of the most rewarding experiences. I'm not going to cry. This has been one of the most rewarding experiences I've had in my professional career. Personally speaking, our department heads are amazing. Our employees are amazing. And I've had to make some very tough decisions since I've been here, some that were not popular. But in many respects, you guys gave me room to breathe. You gave me room to fail, and I appreciate that. And also the successes that we've had is directly attributed to the employees that we had. And I'm so appreciative of the outpouring of support, the love that I've received in this community. And I cannot thank y'all enough. And I know I'm going to a great community of Athens, Georgia, but Bisbee will always be deep in my heart. And I want to say thank y'all so much. And that's all I have.
Thank you, sir.
I'm not going to cry.
We'll go to a council member comments. Council member Hanson.
Thank you, Mayor. I just wanted to talk about what is going on the 4th of July. We have a number of things that are going on that I want to make sure that the community is aware of. First of all, the Coaster Racers, as you just heard, have sent in their permit, which was just approved. So those will be on. It's 8 o'clock in Old Bisbee. 11 o'clock is the 4th of July parade, and the theme for that parade is the best small historical town in the U.S. Still have applications available for people to get into the parade. The applications are here in City Hall. They're also at the library, and they're at National and Western Banks. And if you are in the parade, please be there by 10:30 to line up. And something new is the, and I know I'm going to screw this up, the Monsoon Madness Water Park. I had water slide, which is going to be from 3 to 6 in the Lower Vista. And Andy and I have worked on this along with Chief Bernalite. And Andy went hog wild in getting all of these water slides for the kids, which is especially important since the pool is not open this year. And it also gives them something to do while the parents are setting up. Well, hopefully parents will be there to watch them. But it's 3 to 6 in the Vista, so as you're setting up, one parent can go and watch the kids, but be prepared to get wet. And the fire department will have a little extra during that time. And then, of course, the fireworks at dark. Have a very safe 4th of July.
Thank you. Next, we'll go to Councilmember Dowdy.
Hello. Driving around town, I noticed a lot of political signs, a lot of signs, advertising, and yard sale signs posted on the telephone poles. I've noticed a lot of them, people take them off and they just go in the middle, pieces of paper and the whatever they put them up with are still on the telephone poles. We want businesses to come into town. We want people to come and buy houses in town. Folks, that looks ugly. When you drive driving down Tombstone Canyon, there's some places on Tombstone Canyon, I don't know what places are, they're closed up, the buildings, it looks like, I don't know, looks like chalkboards up there, and there's little pieces of paper and signs that have been up there for many, many days with all of these little bitty pieces of paper hanging on them. If you're going to put a sign up with staples, take your staple pullers when you take the signs down. Don't just take, you know, rip them off. Take your staple puller. If you don't have a staple puller, take a pair of pliers. Let's clean it up. It looks terrible. It looks very terrible. Clean it up, please.
Thank you, Councilmember Klein.
Thank you. Well, here we are again at the 4th of July, and we know that that's our biggest holiday when so many of our families hold their family reunions. Everybody comes back home, and many of us will be attending our class reunions, and if not one of ours, one of our siblings' reunions. And so welcome to all coming into Bisbee for the holiday, and safe travels. Please be very, very careful out there, especially with the fireworks. We know that it's fire season and everything's dry out there. And remember that aerial rockets are illegal. And I also want to wish Mr. Johnson and his family very well as you transition back to Georgia. You know, you have great kids and your nieces, you know, I got to see them when they would come over for practice and stuff. So you're going to be missed in the community, and thank you very much. So with that, I just want to wish everyone a safe and happy 4th of July.
Thank you. Do we have a motion?
I move to adjourn.
Second.
We have a motion and a second to adjourn. All those in favor indicate by saying aye.
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 Those opposed, nay. The ayes have it. Motion passes unanimously. This meeting is adjourned.